My children, Robert and Mary, they come to St Lawrence's because of the fantastic youth clubs. And I was at the Methodist Church, and I was just going round in circles. My Christian journey wasn't going anywhere, so I decided to come to St Lawrence's with the children. And I came in, and I was so inspired by the prayers of the people. I've never been in a church before where they had a prayer corner, or people stood and prayed out loud, or that I could go and sit in the pew and people would pray with me. I was totally inspired. So that was the beginning. Then I joined the Alpha group, and with a lot of new Christians, we enjoyed a fellowship together. And when the group had finished, there wasn't anywhere for them to go. There was no other meeting or anything, so David and I decided that they could come to our house and we would have a home group. And we grew together, we learned about each other, the things that we were unsure of, and we had a really lovely fellowship. And then my friend Trish Bothwell, and lots of you will know Trish, invited me to a Women Aglow meeting in Congleton. Now, I'd never heard of Women Aglow, and I thought, what's she taking me to? But knowing Trish was such a lovely Christian lady, I knew she'd never take me to somewhere that wasn't, you know, with God. So I went, and when the prayer time came, all the ladies were praying in tongues, and they were responding in tongues. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I felt as if I was on another planet. It was something I'd never, ever come across before. But that was when I was blessed with the Holy Spirit. And I came away from that meeting dancing. I was on fire. And then I knew where a glow came from. That was the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then I had a dark time when I lost my mum. And I lost four very, very, very dear friends. Really lovely Christian friends who I devoted on. And I got really down and I thought, oh God, what are you doing to us? You know, why are you taking such lovely friends? And Anita gave me a prayer. I'm going to read it because I keep it in the glasses case. And it's Philippians 4. And it says, have no anxiety about anything, but with thanksgiving and prayer, make your requests known to God, and his peace will fill your heart. So I held on to those words. And sure enough, God did answer my prayer. There's been so many other things I've got written down. And David said, if you're thinking you're going to speak for 2 minutes, you'll be here for 2 hours with all the things you've got down here. But, you know, I just have to say thank you to all my lovely Christian friends who've been with me on this journey. And it is an up and a down journey, you know. Sometimes I asked why we asked for prayer and we didn't get the answers. And my friend said, Janet, it's like a jigsaw puzzle with little pieces missing. And until we get to the Lord, we don't know the answers. So I just want to thank you all for your amazing support. And we came to the Lent course this time. And David came with me. And it was such a powerful Lent course. It was all about prayer, about speaking about prayer, and also what God wanted you to do and how he wanted you to accept prayer. And I know now that he wants me to just clear my mind and listen to what God is saying to me and act upon it. And when my little granddaughter Jessica was little, she always was dressing up and she was a princess and so on and so forth. And everybody had a hat on, and I hadn't got a hat. And I said, Jessie, what is Nana? What is Nana? And she said, Nana, you're a servant. She said, because you're always helping people. And I think that when God speaks to me and I act on it, that's what God wants me to be, a servant for God. So I've got lots of other things, but if I take up everyone's time, it'll go on forever. But thank you all so much for your love and your fellowship on this wonderful journey. Amen.
thank you. I wonder what your story is. We're going to hear from Mike now. As we're... Sorry, we're going to hear from Reg. Janet pinched my service plan in her keenness to take all my bits of paper. So that's fine. Reg, would you like... Thank you, Mike. Reg is going to come and share something of his story.
Thank you.
I don't think we drew attention to that at all. I think that's fine. Thank you, Reg.
Thank you for asking.
You're a bit taller.
So I am. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. As Janet has just said, the Lent course this year was concerned with prayer. Why do we pray? How do we pray? And for what do we pray? And how does God answer our prayers? Well, after the first session, I came away thinking of my 20 years here at St. Lawrence's. And the things that had happened, and the way prayer has helped me throughout. So I'd like to tell you a little bit of our 20 years at St. Lawrence's. As I say, it was 20 years ago, and Phyllis suddenly said, without any preamble, I'm going to ask Tom and Prue if we can go to church, if I can go to church with them on Sunday. Now, Tom and Prue are our very good neighbours and very good friends. And as she said that, I said, without thinking, well, if you're going, I'm going. And I'd never been to church, never been to a service. I'd been to a baptism, I'd been to a wedding. And had a few religious knowledge lessons, various schools, but that was the extent of my knowledge of Christ. At some months later, it might have been 12 months, it might have been more, I'm really not sure, when our daughter Diane said to us, I've been praying to God for years for you and Mum to come to Jesus. So, Diane's prayers were answered. I say that was 20 years ago. Andy Piggott was still here, and Nick Grew, the curate, was still here. And then Marty came in 2000. In 2001, I attended confirmation classes, and Phil came along to affirm her faith. She had been confirmed when she was 12, and she had attended church into her early teens. And then later, it was about 2003, I think, Martin asked me if I would help to lead the intercession. I never led a prayer, hardly ever. Really, I listened, heard the intercessions at each service, but I really didn't really understand what they were about. And I said, Martin, I'd never thought of doing anything like that. He says, you'll be all right. He says, I've got some standard prayers. I'll let you have them. And you can do with them as you will. You can modify them, change them. So I did. And I was helping with the intercessions after that. Round about this time, Diane rang to say that our grandson, David, was in hospital again. Just very briefly, when David was born, he was very poorly. He was born in Stoke Hospital. He was taken down to Birmingham Children's Hospital. He was there for only a little while. And Dan was told, there's nothing we can do for him. Take him home and give him lots. Give him lots of loving care. Anyway, he did respond to treatment, although he was in and out of hospital all the time. He got a number of complaints, multiple problems. He had a liver transplant when he was about 5 or 6, maybe 7, I don't know. He had kidney transplants later. He had various things. The doctors at Birmingham used to say, Dave is a bit of a problem. So as soon as we get him sorted with one thing, he presents us with another. And that was David. But he was a grand lad, he was very intelligent, he was happy most of the time, although he was uncomfortable, he was in pain. In 2005, Martin asked me if I would help with the communion, administering the cup. Of course I said yes. I went through, and I still do go through, all sorts of emotions during that service. It's humbling, I feel privileged, and I feel unworthy as well. There's all sorts of mixed emotions. In October 2011, David, when he was 22, he died. In January 2012, our son Jason died, age 42, died in his sleep. And in May 2013, our son-in-law, our other daughter, Jane's husband, he was killed, age 52. Now, during this time, it was time in the weeks and months after Jason died, I was asking God, where are you? In my prayers, I always ask God to comfort and let the people know that you're with them, people who were in trouble. Where are you? And one day I picked up my Bible and to just carry on reading what I was reading. I think it was something in Luke, and I couldn't actually be certain. But there was no bookmark. And I picked my Bible up and I opened it to where I thought Luke was. And I'd opened it at 2 Corinthians, the first chapter. And the subtitle that caught me straight away was The God of All Comfort. So I read it. And it goes, Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the suffering of Christ flows over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. That was saying to me, God was speaking to me. He was telling me that he was comforting me, and he was comforting me through other people, through our friends, through you people here. So it did help. About 2003, I'd been helping to lead intercessions for about 12 years. And I was getting more and more stressed. It was getting more and more difficult. Never easy to write the prayers. It's not easy to pray. But after a few months, I gave in. I asked to be relieved, taken off the service rota. That was about the beginning of 2016. I was relieved for a bit at first, and then I was just as troubled as I was doing the prayers. I knew I shouldn't have stopped doing the prayers. I got one voice telling me, do it, another voice telling me, don't. Anyway, I did, and it was about, I don't know, about 4 weeks before the Lent course, when I spoke to Steve and asked him if I could go back on the Pharaoh to lead the intercessions. Now, going back to the Lent course, as I said, the course was entitled Growing in Prayer. Started off with a song or a hymn, short video, and then we organised ourselves into small groups of 3, 4, 5. Ad hoc, just the people that were nearest to, we formed a group. Following the video, there were various, we had given a slip with 5 points or suggestions of questions that we might discuss regarding the video. Now, one of the questions on that slip, the first evening, was, what do you find hard about praying? Well, I found everything hard, really. But the one thing I couldn't do, the one thing I'd never done, never been able to do, was to pray aloud, spontaneously, in a group. Whenever I was in that situation, I would sit there, I would rehearse what I was going to say, what I wanted to say, but I couldn't say it. I couldn't open my mouth. Now, I told this to my little group. I don't know the various comments and things, but at the end, to finish the evening, Steve asked, or suggested, that each one of us in our own groups would like to say a prayer. So I thought, here we go again. So I sat there, eyes closed, thinking what I'd like to say, what I wanted to say, and it seemed to be going on for ever such a long time. And I thought, those others are waiting for me. They're not going to say anything until I do. Anyway, I did say a little prayer, and it wasn't the words that had got in my head. They'd gone, they'd vanished. I don't know what I said, but it was a prayer. And it was the first time I'd prayed in a small group. And for that, I shall be eternally grateful. That's my story. Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Rhett.
Thank you.
Mike's now going to come and share something of his story.
It's great going third. It's all been said. Oh dear, dear. I'm going to start with a couple of verses from Philippians that you've already heard, because Janet used these in what she had to say. But great verses, these, in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, where it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Then we also heard the next bit, and I'm sure all of you have heard preachers say before now, Jesus didn't say to his disciples, "If you pray," but "when you pray." And of course he wasn't setting them a task which was beyond their ability. And here we go again. Now I'm going to talk about the Lent course. And I think this recent Lent course on prayer emphasised very well both the necessity and the simplicity of prayer. Two things in particular about the Lent course impressed me. And the first was when this presenter, Pete Gregg, said, "Little prayers are more effective than big prayers. Little prayers are more effective than big prayers." Doesn't mean, of course, that we don't pray big prayers any longer. Of course, we'll still pray for peace in Syria. We'll pray for freedom from famine in Africa. We'll pray for an end to terrorism. But if we're honest, we're probably not expecting to see those prayers answered anytime soon. But little prayers are more effective than big prayers. And just recently I discovered that a lady in our home group has been praying for me every night for a good few weeks that I might get a good night's sleep. And I can honestly say that whilst I've been ill, I haven't lost any sleep. Unfortunately, I can't say the same for my wife Mary, because one of the many strange side effects of chemotherapy is that I had bouts of extremely loud snoring, which certainly kept her awake. But anyone can pray these little prayers. Mary's often had to pray little prayers in the last 3 months when we set off for yet another hospital appointment. But then anxiety and apprehension have been lifted from us. And I think my principal prayer these days is that the Lord will give me strength for the day. Because you don't really need to think about tomorrow yet, or next week, and I'm just about learning that, I think, now. But a few weeks ago, I had a couple of very miserable days. And I felt very guilty, because I was still praying, but I thought, well, nothing's happening, this is getting worse. But on the third morning, I remembered suddenly, I realised that help was at hand. It just took a quick phone call to Lindsay, a request on the prayer chain, and believe me, by that afternoon, I was feeling very much better. Which brings me to the second point of the Lent course, which impressed me. And that was the time, as Reggie's been talking about, for praying together in small groups. There was time to share prayer requests, so you got to know other people a little bit better. And time for everyone, really, to pray little prayers for each other. And I believe there are a few things that build you up quite as much in your faith and fellowship as being prayed for. And anyone who's been prayed for by Steve will certainly testify to that. And yesterday we met some old friends at Macclesfield Garden Centre. We hadn't seen them for about 12 months. They didn't know I'd been not very well. And it turned out to be the very first time that I'd been prayed for in the centre of a garden centre. And it was absolutely great. It was a real blessing. But of course we don't need to be physically present with anyone to pray for them. All we need is to know that somebody has needs and needs prayer, and we all do. So thank you very much for praying for me. Please carry on. But let's all pray for each other. These little prayers, more and more, because that way we can strengthen each other in faith, we can build up the church, and we can bring glory to our wonderful prayer-answering God. And do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
Three stories. Honest stories. I hope you've been encouraged. I hope you've been inspired. And I hope that you will take what you've heard into this week with the encouragement to pray. We're all aware of Mike's circumstances with regard to health. And in that, he's learning to pray. Reg listed off a list of tragedy, of loss. But within that, through prayer, he found the comfort of his Heavenly Father. And Janet really helped us to just feel, to reconnect with that sense of how approachable and how simple prayer is. So our encouragement this week is from the Archbishop of Canterbury. But let's forget him. This has been recorded. That's problematic. Let's hear the encouragement of Janet and of Reg and of Mike. People we know. People we love. People who we've walked with for many years. Who with humility and honesty have said, "Come on, church, let's pray."